1 Peter chapter 4, we are on page 14 of our worksheet, if you have that. And we pretty well went through the first six verses already, and going right now looking at the section verses 7 through 11. And let's begin by reading that. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things have fervent love among yourselves, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom is the praise, the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We started looking at this section a little bit on Wednesday night. A section we've kind of titled Strong in Suffering, because there's some emphasis being placed again just on suffering. And the fact that salvation changes us. It changes our attitude. And it seems as though that the admonition in the overall text here is to have a serious attitude, have a serious view of your service before God. Christ, when Christ is our focus, our attitude will change. And likely we have all seen that in others who have become Christians and have gone through a change in their life. Or maybe even we've seen that in ourselves. That after becoming a Christian, there were changes that were made in our lives. And so that's been a reoccurring theme as well in some things that Peter has said to these Christians. He goes on to say as well in this text that we'll look at that there are certain things that we should be doing one with another, even gifts that we might possess that we need to be using. And there is even some collective responsibility, it seems, in some of those things. Well, in verse 7, we discussed this some on Wednesday night already. The end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. The reminder, the admonition again, that we need to know who we are and be serious about who we are. And in verse 8, and above all things have fervent love among yourselves, for love will cover a multitude of sins. And that's where we take up in our discussion here this morning, looking at that just a little bit more. Oh, wait a minute, I want to back up for a second. Going back to verse 7 again, those are some things we didn't look at there. We had some discussion on Wednesday night that was interesting on this point here. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful about your prayers. And what does that mean? We talked some about, it's talking about some judgment. Well, what judgment? Perhaps it was judgment that would take place soon in Jerusalem. The destruction of Jerusalem. Some have taken more of the view that it's talking about judgment that will come at the end times. Well, perhaps tend to lean a little bit more to the idea, speaking of judgment in Jerusalem. But regardless of what exactly is the judgment coming, the admonition here is to, be serious and watchful, to recognize this. And even in our day, the just destruction of Jerusalem was 2,000 years ago, nearly. And so that has passed, and yet still the admonition of the just thinking in terms of judgment that is to come is serious to all of us, judgment that we will all face. Some passages I was going to throw out there, they're on your worksheet, but just thinking for a moment here. Look at Romans chapter 13, Romans 13 and verse 11. Just throw some of these out and see if we have some discussion. Romans 13 and verse 11 is the Apostle Paul who says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." Just putting the point out there that, we need to be serious about considering and looking toward judgment that is to come. A couple of passages where Jesus is speaking. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And in verse 42 beginning. And I know we're stepping kind of into the middle of the story here with some things that Jesus has been talking about. But judgment is in view. He says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour in which the Lord is coming." Chapter 25 and verse 13. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." And so just putting those passages out there and putting them in mind, in view even of what Peter is saying, but the end of all things is at hand. And you can't help but think about and be admonished by what he's saying.
Each one of us has to remember, you know, when you think in terms of, all right, it's been 2,000 years, and the end hasn't approached yet, but for mm-hmm. each one of us individually,
oh.
the end of time is either when Christ comes or when we die.
It's a heartbeat away. You know, eternity is a heartbeat away.
Yes.
And that's serious to think about. I know sometimes we think about, you know, the end, when the end comes. We all think of the end as being a long way off. I mean, even just in view of our life, you know. But the older you get, you know the end is coming nearer. I mean, we don't know how old we're going to be when we die. But, you know, in previous life, you know, with the fire department, I've seen some very young who have died unexpectedly. Just driving to school in the morning, driving home after a date on Friday night, not a care in the world, and their life came to an end. Our life is at the end of our life is just a heartbeat away. And so you can't help but look at passages like this and think and just realize that, I mean, what Peter is saying, be serious and watchful in your prayers. There's some power to what he's saying here about being serious in these things. Other thoughts or comments with it.
Well, just one other perspective, possibly, and I'm just throwing this out there. Romans 10:4 said that Christ is the end of the law.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's an interesting point. And I think what's possibly being said here is that, you know, this is what it was all about.
Yeah.
The end of all things is here. Now this is
right. And that lends itself as well just the idea of the destruction of Jerusalem, the end of that law in that way, or that nation, you know, was coming to an end. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Denny.
Everything we've looked at in the Old Testament has sort of been pointing towards a point in time when the old would be completed and the new would start. This would appear to me to look as though we're seeing the end of all those promises mm-hmm. being fulfilled at this point with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are looking at the end of an era and the beginning of a new kingdom.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we may be looking at that end.
That's right. And that could be what he's speaking
about. Sort of agrees with what Rick was getting at there.
That's right. Good thoughts. Okay, then looking at verses 8 through 10. And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A common theme here. Of relationships one with another. The most perplexing point to me is in verse 8, love will cover a multitude of sins. And I've heard some discussion sometimes that kind of goes off in, a wrong direction with what does that mean? Love covers a multitude of sins. I mean, sometimes people are quick to say, you know, that, oh, well, if somebody does something wrong, well, you can almost like love them out of that situation. I don't think that's really what it's saying here. But then, what is it saying? I mean, there is this need of having a fervent love one for another. Chapter 1, we talked about this in verse 24. He was emphatic about that point. Love one another with a pure heart. So what does love have to do with covering sins? I mean, what in the world could he be talking about here? Above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love will cover a multitude of sins. What is that, you think, girl? Wow, what an incredible analogy to kind of bring to our mind, you know, what the Lord did out of love for us.
And one thing that strikes me is gossip. If you gossip about somebody, you know, you're actually
What will you do?
What you talk to them about. But you know, yeah. Perhaps something they repented of. You know, that's it. It's gone. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
okay. Gone. Right. Good. Yeah.
So I make them a different pattern. But love is that domino, that first one that you push over that puts the whole train of events in motion.
Yeah.
And so the idea of covering the sins, if you have love, like Earl mentioned, Christ covered the love that you have or others have around you are a part of the whole principle of that God gives us that a people that are in favor with God and are looking for one another's best interests.
Yeah. The idea of looking out for one another's best interests is kind of what's floating to the top here to me in this discussion.
1 Corinthians 13:5 says that love does not keep a record of wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
It allows the love that we should have for other people allows us to forgive.
Sure. Sure. Look at James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. I think this goes along with what Peter is saying here as well. Maybe helps us bring some definition. James chapter 5, verse 19 says, "Brethren, if anyone among you should wander from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." Now, what's the point? I mean, we can't ignore sins. I mean, you think about the passage in 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm not getting the impression that you can just love somebody so much that you just forget about their sins while they're in sin. That's the concern that I have that some have almost taken, that if you love somebody so much, you'll just overlook their sin.
Even God can't do that.
God can't do that. I mean, and that's what we have to come back to on this. Earl mentions, you know, about the love of Jesus. Yes, the love of Jesus covers sin, but it still requires that we repent of sin. You can't get around that. Love does not excuse sin. But like what James is saying, if one is in error but is brought back, well, wow. Love can cover a multitude of sin. Then.
Matthew 18:15, your brother sins, go to him in private and you listen to him, your brother. We don't ignore the sin.
Right.
Go to
Mm-hmm.
He listens to you, you want your brother.
And
it's between you and him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go telling everybody else.
Right.
You know,
what's the motivator to do that? Love. Love is the motivator to do that. Love is the motivator not to be talking to everybody else about it. I mean, because we don't want to do or say something that's going to bring someone down. If they're in sin, they're already low. The idea is not to push them lower by gossiping or telling others. The point here is to bring one back. I'm thinking that's the idea here of, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Yes, Harry.
I was just kind of thinking that it kind of means that it's not up to you to judge them, but if you love them, you can sort of fight against their sins. You know, if you ostracize a person, sometimes they're more likely to sin deeper into.
You know, I think that's right. I mean, that's a good point. Sometimes when somebody is in sin, they're at a low point. The idea is not to push them lower. It's to pick them up. You know, you have to work to pick them up. Now, if they're determined to stay in sin, you can't pick them up. You know, you can't fix that. But sometimes there are those who have made some mistakes and have fallen into sin and want to do right. Well, we need to be the ones there with our hands reaching out to help pull them up. Right.
That kind of love is not the kind of love that would keep us from thinking, well, I'm not supposed to gossip about them, so I won't say anything. It's the kind of love that would cause us to have a deep concern.
Yeah.
And the thought of gossip really wouldn't even occur to us.
Right, right. Yeah, very true point. Good thoughts. Follows that. Go ahead.
The point, the key word there to me is fervor.
Mm-hmm.
This burning of love that we have, we need to have that burning.
He has said that twice in the text.
It's not a matter of just love. Oh,
yeah.
I love
it. Yeah.
It's a fervent love. There's a, when you have a fervent love, there is a relationship there. And so, as the church, as every individual has a fervent love for one another, we're going to know each other.
Sure.
We're going to care for when somebody's struggling. We're going to recognize it, but we're going to close it.
Absolutely. Interesting to me that twice in the letter, he speaks of having fervent love, emphasis, for one another. Interesting, the next thing he says, you know, is be hospitable to one another. You know, that strikes me as a little bit peculiar. I'm sure, I know there's a purpose, there's a reason that he said this, because it needed to be said and it still needs to be said. But if we have fervent love one to another, doesn't it almost seem like we don't have to be told to be hospitable? I mean, that just strikes me as a little bit funny. But what strikes me as even more peculiar, and do it without grumbling. I mean, if we are hospitable, why would we grumble? And if we have fervent love for one another, why would we have to be told to be hospitable? What's the point? What's the emphasis? Why is this being said? Why? What is our problem with this? And obviously it's not just us. I mean, 2,000 years ago, there was a purpose for the apostle to write these things. What's the problem?
Attitudes.
What are we missing?
Emotions with the wrong
attitude. There should be, and Brent alluded to this, such a love that we have for each other that if somebody stumbles, we are there to pick them up before they hit the floor, spiritually speaking. If we have fervent love for each other, then one of the joys of our life is being together, spending time with each other. Hospitality is just something that comes as, it's just the norm. It's what we do because of who we are. It's not something that should stand out as peculiar to anyone. It's who we are. If we do not show hospitality to one another, the issue is not hospitality. It backs up. There is something wrong in our relationship. There's something wrong in our love with one another. And we manifest that when we are hospitable. And this way I'm viewing this, the way I'm looking at this. And I'm still struggling with the idea of do this without grumbling. I still don't see how that fits in. Of course we would do it without grumbling if it's genuine. I mean, I can't imagine being hospitable and then getting in the car and saying, I'm glad that's over. I didn't think I'd ever get through that. You know, won't have to do this again for 6 months. You know, I don't know, but obviously we need that admonition because it's given to us by the Spirit. Brent, we'll start back here. Yeah.
It's this matter of the servitude.
Right.
We love someone.
Which we're going to be talking about servitude. Yeah. Yeah. Good point. What else? Neil, did you? Of the love.
And,
yeah.
And people will say, well, I love, well, I gotta show it. You know, you gotta show it right.
Yeah.
So there's three steps to it.
Sure. And genuine.
You gotta show it and you gotta do the right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Good point. Frank, do you have one? No.
Dave. We have a lifelong commitment to our spouses, but how many times do we have the wrong kind of attitude?
Oh.
Has to do something for them. It's
yeah. Yeah, it could. Yeah. Okay.
But I wonder if in this particular
Yeah.
They're different than you are.
Yeah.
They have different practices possibly.
That's good thoughts too.
I think one of the things that we see, we get together from time to time
mm-hmm.
to worship together. And the hospitality that we show one another mm-hmm. when we get here, and particularly in this congregation, seems like it's sort of
mm-hmm.
overwhelming there. Everybody just mm-hmm. hates to go home. Whoever has to close up this building never gets out of here because nobody goes home. But that's the hospitality that we show one another
sure.
whenever we're together. We
mm-hmm.
love it. And it's without grumbling. But in more congregations than not, I find that those that are getting ready to go to church and associate and be hospitable to those in the same
mm-hmm.
church, we don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
What's the excuse that I can use not to go to church today?
Right.
It disappoints me when we have to say, look, the weather's bad and we can't come together in midweek.
Right.
Because that's a highlight in the week.
Yeah,
because
we need that.
To get here and associate
mm-hmm.
with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's part of our hospitality.
Sure.
Very often is forgotten. And how many are grumbling
mm-hmm.
because I got to get up and go to church.
The idea of hospitality goes beyond just being in someone's home or having somebody in your home. I mean, I think that can be a big...
Hospitality is just over a meal.
Yeah. It goes beyond. Sure. Wow, a lot of comments on that. Anything else? All right. Looking on just a little bit more right here. And above all things, fervent love among yourselves. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Well, that's a little bit interesting text to me as well. I mean, I understand the point or the idea here of sharing with one another. Obviously, that's what we're hospitable. Of course, that's what we would do. We have fervent love one for another. Well, of course, there's sharing that's going to take place. But what's the gift? As each one has received a gift. I can look at this in a couple of different ways. A couple of different things kind of come to mind with in view of what Peter might be speaking about here. But what do you think the gifts are that are being talked about here in verse 10? What are the gifts?
It could be one of two things. It could be the talents that each one of us can
mm-hmm.
have. Just at 8 talents. Or it could be, in this time,
mm-hmm.
the spiritual gifts that were given by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are necessary to
yeah.
spread the gospel at that time.
I can really look at that both ways. I can see application in both ways. You know, it could just be in view, and I just don't really see in the text where one point stands out above the other. I see where you could apply both. You know, but the idea of gifts such as in blessings that we possess that we might be able to share with others, in the context we're talking about with brethren, is the idea. Or perhaps it is spiritual gifts, because there were those that the apostles had laid hands on that had spiritual gifts at that time of one type or another. You know, share that is what he's saying. Use your gifts. Really, in some ways, I think it's in view of some things like Paul said in Romans chapter 12, where he's talking about each one has a gift, and to use that. I don't think he's necessarily talking about spiritual gifts in the context there so much, but whatever your abilities are, use them, you know, was the point or the emphasis. And it could even be that here, what Peter's saying here. I don't know.
And the application to us would be
it's true. That's true. It would be, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever we receive
mm-hmm.
is not ours to
yeah.
possess, it's ours to manage.
Yeah, and to use.
We're not owners. God is
that's right.
He has provided for us.
To use and to be for the glory of God, as we see in the context as we go further. You know, whatever gift that we would possess in any way that we can use is really to be to God's glory and God's honor.
So it's showing that verse 11 Those aren't necessarily spiritual gifts.
No, not necessarily. And yet, I mean, when you look forward a little bit more, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom is the praise and the dominion forever and ever. Could be speaking of spiritual gifts, because there were some who ministered who spoke the word of God in a miraculous way through prophecy. You know, could be speaking of that. If anyone ministers, if anyone serves, whatever the ability that one has to serve, and that's pretty wide-ranging, you know, to do so with the right attitude and for the purpose even of glorifying God. Yeah. What else?
And today we have people that can help. We are so fortunate to have so much income today, we just go buy some clothes. But if they've got some clothes that need mending and they're not able to mend them, someone in the church can.
Sure.
That's a gift that they possess that they can do for another.
That's right.
The mother that would be cooking and the others in the family that are not.
Yeah, the benefit.
The mother's not able to.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, good points. Daryl.
And that seems to me to go back to verse 9, the hospitality, to be willing to use whatever talent you have to help others.
I think it does. It, again, helps us to see and understand the idea of being hospitable. Is more than just having people in your home. Indeed, I think that's a part of it. But I mean, can we be hospitable in other places in other way? Well, indeed we can. You know, it's the idea of sharing with others. It's on our hand here, Denny.
One of the great gifts that we have today is the completed Word of God.
Yeah.
And certainly that's something we need to share.
A gift to share. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God, as the Word of God.
And we've got a better deal than they have.
That's right. We have the text.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? Yeah, Dave, I knew it was our hand.
Verse 10 again, it says, being good steward of the manifold grace of God. The way my Bible reads, gift is singular. I would tend to think that the gift is grace.
Well, the manifold grace of God, I'm thinking, is indeed what God has given. And we are in turn taking what God has given and sharing that with others, is kind of my thoughts off the top of my head with that.
Well, it says each has received a gift, so it's kind of like they're not the gift, but different gifts.
Point of emphasis in verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Oracles, not a word in our vernacular today. Basically just means speak as the Word of God. Where can we go with that? The utterances of God, okay. Where can we go with that? Well, what's the point of emphasis that this needs to come from that, Les?
Where it's saying, don't add things to and don't take things away from what God has uttered, His words. So if you're going to speak about things pertaining to God, speak it according to what God
to what God has said.
Don't make up stuff about God.
Yeah.
And that's the way that He is glorified. We say the things that He has said after Him.
And when you look at how this verse, you know, kind of concludes the thought here, that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. It's not to God's glory, when we don't speak all of His Word, or when we go beyond what His Word says, but we are to speak the oracles of God. Linda.
On cross reference here of Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to you."
Sure. And it's only the Word of God that's going to bring that edification, spiritual edification. Good thoughts.
I like to think that whatever I say, in whatever context I happen to be in, I think to myself, would God be happy with what I just said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I always portraying the person that I need to be?
And we need to be honest enough to be able to look at ourselves that way. Really do. Good thoughts on that. All right. Kind of the next section. Verses 12 through 19. Yeah, go ahead.
Just one quick thing in this context. It says, whoever let him serve, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies. And in the context of being hospitable and each using our own gift, the point needs to be that whatever our gift is, it comes from God.
Sure.
Whether it's a talent or something like that. And we need to be sober-minded about that, not, as Romans says, not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to.
Yeah. And to another point, you reminded me of something else. Some have more than others in the way of gifts or in the way even of just a blessings from God. And the more we have, the more we might have ability to help in material ways. And yet some of the greatest blessings I've ever received have been from some who had little by today's standard or were willing to give of what they had. Kind of meant more. Just something to think about. Brent.
Going back to what David said, it seems to me that that is the root of the umbrella that he's talking about, the grace of God. And if you go back and read, I'm not going to read, if you want to read it out loud, but just read Romans 12. He looks like that's the same point that he's making here, but he goes in more detail.
It is. In Romans chapter 12, it's the Apostle Paul speaking at that point, but saying some of the same things that what Peter is really alluding to here in some more detail. You might just turn over there for a second. Romans chapter 12. This is a sermon in itself right here. When you look at verses like 3 through 9 or 10, just briefly, just in view of some things that we've talked about, just think about this passage as we read through. Romans 12, verse 3. "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Or he who teaches in teaching. Or he who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." I mean, you can talk a lot about each of the points that were made, but it's different gifts that God has given, and his overall point just being, use them. Whatever gifts have given, use them. And I kind of think that's what Peter is saying too, really, back in our text in 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's introduce here this next section here, verses 12 through 19, I believe. And seemingly here, again, an overall theme is expect persecutions. He's already said this, but it's been a reoccurring theme, and it seems to be some emphasis placed on that now, more so than prior. And you'd have to think, I mean, it's not a message that I would enjoy receiving. I mean, he is speaking to these Christians who indeed are facing real-time, real-life persecutions. And it's just not one of those kind of messages, a letter that you can get, and he's basically saying, I know it's been rough, but it's going to get harder. And it's hard to take that message and go, I'm sure I'm glad to know that. You know, you're wanting a message that says, I know it's been tough, but it's going to get better soon. But it seems to be the opposite of that. I know it's been tough, but it's going to get harder. And that's a hard message, you know, to receive. And I mean, we wouldn't find that appealing. Why would we think that the Christians then would find that appealing? I can't imagine how they would.
Particularly hard in that he has just exhorted them to use their talents outwardly. And now says, oh, by the way, you're going to get persecuted for that.
That's right, yeah. The more you look like a Christian, the more it's going to hurt.
They've just been told to speak as God.
Yeah, the oracle, yeah.
Honest truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice, insofar as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. On their part He is blasphemed, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in the matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. Here are some things to think about. Our time is gone. We've got a minute left or so. Just some things to be thinking about for discussion on Wednesday night. And page 15 is on the back if you didn't pick one up. That'll work us through this section right here. You know, we need to think some about what this means, the fiery trial which is to try you. There's a couple of different ways we can go with that in trying to understand. But we need to think about and try to understand that. What does it mean to be partakers in Christ's sufferings? Kind of work that through your mind a little bit and think about what that is and what we should do. There's a contrast made. If you suffer as a sinner, he says in verse 15, verse 16, if you suffer as a Christian, what's the difference? I mean, there's suffering on both hands, both sides. But there's a contrast made. And I'm sure there's a purpose and there's a reason for that contrast. And then he then makes some comments on commit your souls to Him. What does it mean to commit our souls? Just some things there to think about. Read that text over some, you know, this week and think through some of those questions. Good comments this morning. Our time's gone here, so we're just going to stop right here. Those who can, let's move up close. Let's move forward this morning.